Located in the heart of Darlinghurst, Sydney, and home to where some of Sydney's biggest PTs love to train, it's big on social media, it's big in real life, and without a doubt, you've probably seen 98 Gym pop up on Body Science. Let's check out why.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want, and should know about health, fitness, nutrition, and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent, or manage any injury, disease, or other health-related condition.
Today's podcast is brought to you by 98 Online. That's 98gym.com. Unlock the state-of-the-art coaching from Australia's leading strength and conditioning coaches, built for those who are hungry to take their fitness to the next level. I use it personally with my team. We love it. Get on board. $9 a week. Best money you've ever spent. Welcome to Body Science HQ, the home of fit, happy and healthy. Today we have three gurus. I know you all hate that word gurus, but you guys need to accept you are. In the fitness industry here with me, Harriet Walker, dietitian to the stars these days.
Getting there.
Along with Harriet is Harriet does the dietetics for a gym in Sydney called 98 Gym. So if you guys want to check out 98 Gym, if you do live in the dark ages and haven't seen it, it's at 98 Riley Street Gym. And with me is Chris Feather and Kev Toonan. Chris is the owner of 98 Riley Gym with Russell Crowe. You guys might have heard of Russell. So just a little bit of background on you, Chris.
I'm from the north of England, yep. Small place called Keighley, which would be near Leeds. Over there, I played rugby league for about 11, 12 years, had a year in France, and then moved to Australia and opened the gym in Darlinghurst. I've been there for the last 7 years now.
And your philosophy on training is a little different to traditional gyms.
I think coming from a professional sport background, it was always about performance and not about anything else. Like, nobody cared what you looked like in your Speedos on a weekend if you played shit on a Friday night. And sort of taking that philosophy of like performance over everything into the gym on a day-to-day basis, and you know, people seem to like it.
Next to him is Kev Toonan. Kev is ex-special ops. Have I got that right, mate?
I worked within the special operations command for a number of years. I was in the military for 18 years. Predominantly my last few years I ran and was involved in a high performance program within that community. So that was from strength conditioning, the physio, psychology type of area as well. But we looked at basically enhancing performance from every point of view, with the outcome being a longevity in a soldier's career. So that's the whole idea of that program was from, and I've taken those ideas and then we place them into the program at 98. So you want a fitter, faster, stronger individual who's both cognitively aware and has a decent mindset as well.
Now I see, Chris, that you're trained in the art of suffering. You're one of 20 Jim Jones qualified trainers. Is that the right word?
Yeah, it's slightly different now. Yep. We did, there was a certified instructor program that took me about 5 years to work through. Went to Utah, where the gym is, for sort of 4 years, keeping up a certain standard in my fitness and like practical tests and stuff like that. When then eventually I was certified as a fully certified instructor. The certification since has changed. It's slightly different now. At the time, it were one of the hardest things I've ever done.
So why would someone want to train with you two? I mean, just hearing those two background, I mean, not from a technical point of view, because obviously you got that covered, but from a, why would I walk in your gym and want to train with you two?
I guess the reason being that you're not worried about anything else other than performance. You either want to get stronger, you want to get fitter, because that's what we do.
Yep.
And same for me. Like, I've never ever been interested in anything other than like, how do I become a more effective member of a team? And that's what's always worried me, and it still does. I don't want to be the weakest link in the chain. And I think that idea we bring to the gym. So I guess if you want to come in and train with us, whether it's online or within the gym, that's all you need to bring is the attitude and the mindset, is that you want to improve yourself, and we can do that. That for me is like the big defining factor, the difference to us, because we're worried about performance only.
Chris, big one for you here, and obviously you and Russell are very clever at what you do. Why aren't you following the traditional fitness center mantra of all the growth that's happening in those 24/7 unmanned gyms? Why aren't you guys playing in that area?
I think we have a lot more to offer. There's gyms and there's gyms. I guess our gym is not just a place, a building full of equipment. Mm-hmm. It's full of the knowledge around the trainers that are there, the ethos of the gym, like the standard of the gym. Every man and his dog could walk into like a 24-hour gym and just do whatever, and you know, yeah, you've ticked the gym box. Or you could spend the exact same amount of time and go somewhere where you're like held accountable, held to a certain standard by a group of people that you actually look up to. I think, yeah, gyms, like I said, there's plenty of gyms where you could just walk in there and walk out and for, you know, 5 to 10 years and not really make that much of a difference on your life, and then you can sort of choose a gym that's actually gonna do something.
Looking back at gyms are 3,000 years old, like the theory of a gym 3,000 years ago, and obviously you're like, here's a good good one for the word gymnasium, and obviously Instagram has embraced this. We can see it every day. That it means a place to exercise naked.
Well, I didn't know that one.
No, didn't you really?
That's... Well, I've been missing out, haven't I?
That's what the word gymnasium means.
Well, and... I've seen Instagram.
There's a few.
Look, there aren't many gyms that generally make us want to kick our fitness butt into gear. How do you get people in? Like, I've been to your gym many times. It is something you feel when you walk through the front door. The pre, the post, everything. It's truly unique. And I did take a couple of friends down there recently of older populations that I train with, and they just came out of that at different trainers. Stepping back from that, why do trainers come to 98 Riley to train?
I think that there's a whole bunch of things that make it what it is. I think the knowledge base that we've got as individuals in terms of coaches is a big thing for other trainers, you know, because the idea is that you always want to keep learning and expanding. So I've got mentors as well that I always go to, and we're really happy that we get other trainers come in that want to learn off us as well. And I think...
And that's a weekly thing with you guys too. They come in weekly, don't they?
Yeah, I think we've all got coaches or trainers that we have coached along the way, which is great. Everyone should be doing that. Again, like, we've all got people that we look up to as well. We go and ask and bounce ideas off. And I think if you don't do that, then you're stagnant. And then if you're stagnant, you're going backwards. You're not moving forwards. I think the community that we've built, but I think Chris is predominantly responsible for that community. The fact that when we were talking just before about how I still get nervous every Friday before our 4AF sessions, and that's not because I'm scared of the workout. I'm scared of not being as effective as I should be. So I'm more worried about my performance based around, I hope I can do well enough to support whoever's team I'm on. The reason that the gym is something more is because we don't focus on what everyone else focuses on, which I think tends to be the mirror.
There are no mirrors in 98, are there?
There's a couple, mate, and I'm trying to put a kettlebell through
Kev's
them every day.
Kev's working heavily on trying to get them down, ASAP.
So where will you do your selfies if you get rid of those, Kev?
Well, I think the phone turns backwards.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, you can do that.
Someone should tell people that. There's a lot of pros and cons of gyms in Australia. Let's talk about the industry. Let's just jump off 98 Gym for a second and talk about where you think the industry's going as a whole. Is this something you guys talk about, or is that your IP? You keep that to yourself?
I think the population in general is getting more educated on fitness.
Absolutely, yeah.
General fitness, you know, how to get fit, how to eat better. There's a lot more. You only need to type into Google, and if you look deep enough, you can find, you know, the best way to get stronger glutes, you know. Yep. So I think a lot of the, you know, fads and things that are popping up here, there and everywhere, basically renaming things that have been around for thousands of years, are going to fizzle out. People don't need, like, to be entertained. People don't go to the gym. I don't feel anyway now these days, or hopefully they don't, to be entertained. It's about they want to get fitter and stronger and, like Kev said, be a better person. And I do see, like, there's a few more gyms sort of popping up and trainers and, you know, things like that that are doing a really good job in and around Sydney, in and around, you know, like Kev said, guys that we look up to follow in America or back in England or wherever. I think there's a long way to go. I still think there's a lot of shit out there, but I think it's slowly working its way around now.
I think if you keep coming back to the same thing, that there's a template that works, and unfortunately it involves going to the gym once or twice, you know, in a week. You've got to be consistent all the time. You can't just pay off everything you've done for the last 4 or 5 years and then think that 28 minutes or 6 minute abs is going to work. I think where we come from is a place of realism. If you train daily and commit to good eating, if you're consistent and you don't bullshit yourself, it'll pay off. Where I think where the industry sometimes loses itself is they try and trick people into thinking that this will work or this will work. Where the template is, if you work really hard, eat really well, and do those things consistently, what's going to happen? The byproduct of that is that you'll be fit, healthy, strong, and your body will generally look better than it was if you just drank beer and ate like shit. And I think, unfortunately, we don't say that enough, or we celebrate things that may or may not be true. There's a lot of myths and crap out there that people have got to wade through. Like you say, when you Google fitness, the amount of lies that come up, exponential. It's you know, and Harry, it'd have to be the same with nutrition. The crap out there that people are peddling, where really, if you look into it, it's just a little bit of hard work. And I think a lot of people these days aren't interested in it.
People are buying the options that aren't associated with hard work, and that's training and that's nutrition. But I think with somewhere like Riley Street, you go in there expecting hard work and you actually begin to appreciate what you get for working hard. You know, like, I remember walking into Riley Street for the first time like 5 years ago, and I didn't know what to expect, but there was something about that environment that brought something out of me that I'd never really sort of, and I've been sort of training and competing in various sports for years, but the intensity that I got out of myself in that environment was completely different, and I still haven't really found a place where I will go to train and get that level of intensity out of myself. And I think that's what most people will find when they go into Riley Street, is there is an expectation expectation there, and it's not a bullshit expectation. You have to, you can't fake that level of work that you do when you're there. You just can't fake that. So I think hard work is something that you cannot fake, and the results are what come out, you know, on the number of the screen on the erg, you know what I mean?
So why did you walk in there in the first place?
I got taken there by a mate of mine. So he'd been training there for a while, knew that I was into, you know, training and fitness and liked a little bit of a pummeling. So took me along, did a session, and yeah, hooked ever since. Like I'd wanted to feel that way again and again and again. So every time I was up in Sydney, it was looking for that fix, I suppose, of what I saw in myself when I was training like that. I wanted to see that again because that was a level that I hadn't been able to achieve by myself.
And is that something you guys, there's a lot of experience between you two, obviously special ops and training Russell, that must be special in itself. Is that something that has been brought into the gym and you two are able to connect on that level?
I was attracted to it while the gym was still going. I was still in WA, and I heard about the gym through a mate of mine. And I
from
heard
WA?
About Chris. Yeah, and I heard about Chris and I heard about the gym. So that place was already, and that culture is already set before I got there. That's all on Chris. I keep going back to this every time we're allowed to speak in mass on a podcast, is that he's responsible for it. Culture that I would have if I was left to my own devices would be me and probably one other person that could tolerate me.
And some very heavy metal music constantly.
And Chris was obviously attracted to Kevin's beard.
That's so right. Yeah.
But that's something that we can't look past. Like, I bring certain things to the table. To be able to create that culture, to be able to manage everything that comes along with managing a place like 98, that's on him. Like, and that's something that he occasionally just consistently pushes aside and brushes aside like it's no big deal. I challenge you to find another place anywhere on the planet that feels like 98. And so I wanted to train there, and there was no other place I wanted to work after I left the military other than that place. And it was due to him. Doesn't like to talk about it because he's like, he is humble, as much as people like to hashtag that shit these days. Count on one hand the type of like the great bosses and leaders I've had in my time. Like, he's on that list. I think anything in terms of culture, community.
And you'll get blokes who go into Riley Street with an ego, and you'll see them walk out with their tail between their legs because they haven't been told what to do. They've been shown the standard. And I've seen it a couple of times where a couple of blokes have been brought down a couple of pegs, which is quite nice because they'll go away with a different level of reflection of themselves as well. It's interesting to watch.
Talking about culture, and I'm not sure if you're an expert on culture, but you obviously know how to bring one to the gym environment. What created the 98 culture? A lot of people probably don't know, but Russell is very much into branding and a whole lot. And I'm not an expert on Russell, but he's very much into knowing his brand, knowing what he wants.
A very like fortunate start, I think, for me in the gym. I'd worked with Russell on a few movies, training him for a few movies around the world, and we travelled around, and in this time I was doing the Jim Jones certification that I was doing, and we were actually working on Superman, the movie where Russell played a role in that, and Russell was being trained by the guys at Jim Jones, and I was sort of overseeing it at the time before I even really knew much about Jim Jones. But when I came back to Sydney and said, look, I want to open this gym, like, so he owned the 98 Riley Street building at the time. I said, let's open this gym in the bottom of your building. I want to make it, you know, like an exclusive kind of place. He's like, yep, sweet, 50 members, let's do this, let's do that. I think this would be really good. Like, you were really into his sort of training at the time. And like you say, he's very like, he's... Once he's into something, he's into it. You only need to look at sort of South Sydney. He goes 100%. And he, for the last 5 years up until last year where I bought him out, well, the majority of him, he's been very like behind it, you know, obviously financially and also behind it, sort of comes in there and makes sure everything's going all right. And he's like I've learned a lot from him as well about, you know, like the branding and exclusivity and standards of, you know, how to keep it.
So Kev, you've brought a culture from obviously the army. How did that fit into the 98 culture when you got there?
Oh, look, my transition out, it's about 18 years, very close to 20 years in the military. I'm not sure if it's ever going to leave me. I don't know if I developed any more empathy. It fits in quite well. I've learned a whole lot in the last couple of years as well, more so than I ever would have if I stayed in. So the growth for me has been exponential in terms of learning about business, learning about training outside from the military. It's been a big change. I've also moved into training a lot more athletes since I've been out as well, but I've learned so much from the gym because I've not found another place where training actually meant something. Like, I wanted the same feeling working in a gym as I did when I was in the military. Like, I wanted to go to work with my mates every day, and that's what I want. I want to be in and around people that I can learn from and the people that I respect, and that's all I want. I don't care about what's inside those or what the walls look like. I don't care whether it's glitzy, glamour. I don't care what car I drive. What I care about is I need to believe in something. I can never sell anything I don't believe, and by selling it I mean like I'm 100% behind it. So when I was getting out, that was was the only place I wanted to work because of that very reason. I've learnt more in the last 2 years about, you know, almost everything than I have, you know, myself and in business than I did in 18 years or so in the military.
You know, you touched on belief, and that's a massive thing in any play, whether it's work, life, relationships. How do you build that belief week after week with, say, your FYFs on Friday? Now, that's you're invited to that, is that correct?
Yeah, well, I invite people to come and train. All the trainers at 98 Gym are invited, and then we invite a few people that I rate highly.
So I've seen some big names in there, like obviously you guys know the right people to invite. What belief system on an FYF, and you guys have to look below in the notes to see what an FYF is because we're not going to say it on the podcast. Why do these people come to that session where they know that it is going to be a session that dictates how you feel tomorrow? It is going to be a session that you pick the teams on who's doing what?
The best part is it's luck of the draw. Like, we've been drawing them out of a hat lately.
Okay, so it is, it's random.
Yeah, definitely. I think those sessions for everyone invited is like the work is hard. It's always attainable. You can always do the work. The idea being, and the reason it's so cool is that, well, Monday to Thursday for us is that we train individually, you know, with each other, but we work on ourselves. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we train so we can get stronger, we get fitter, we get more conditioned. And then Friday is our time to show that in terms of like, how hard can I go for my team? So I'm working for someone other than myself. My job is to jump on the ski, the bike, the rower, whatever I have to do, and work my ass off so the guy or the girl behind me doesn't have to work as hard. And the idea is that he or she's thinking the same thing. It just rolls on. And you saw at that time, you know, when you're in there as well, like everyone is not thinking about anything other than picking the stuff up, putting it down as quickly as they can, and also minimize the work the next person has to do, because there's an idea of like, I need to carry as much of this weight as I can for everyone else. Chris is in charge of inviting people along. We've had different people come in, people that are interested about taking selfies afterwards, which they're no longer there. And then we've got people that we've just seen and we like their work ethic and their mindset. And you think to yourself, like, you know, in a situation, whatever it is, you could count on that person.
I think about it a lot like playing footy. You can, from retiring from playing footy, you still trained. We trained the same. In fact, training became slightly more enjoyable because you didn't have, you know, I didn't do a lot of the stuff that I really didn't like playing footy. But I had a massive gap where the game was on a weekend. And then I think looking at it like that, like that's our kind of game day. The mentality of the trainers or the people, it's not always trainers, just people around that I invite, matches that. It's like picking a team. Like, would I want this person on my team in my, you know, 17 players running onto the field on a Friday? Yep, sweet. All right, well, you can come. It's always people, you know, people want to win. The funny thing is, at the end of it, nobody ever kind of say, if it's like a 21K ski for time, it's not kind of, you don't finish and be like, oh, who won? What would a time like? Yeah. No one really cares. It's just that the feeling at the end of it where you're fully exhausted, you've done everything you can for your team, and everyone knows that, and then you walk away. Nobody cares about the winner, which sounds so cliche, but it's very true.
Oh, it's not. If you've been there on the day, you know exactly what you're talking about. There's a lot of lying around at the end.
Yeah. A lot of sweat angels on the floor.
Yeah.
Sweat angels, nice. One thing I've noticed is, like, when you look at the stats of people who train in Australia, there's about 7 million Australians go to the gym in some capacity. We'd be looking at how true some of those numbers were. About nearly 4 million are female. I've noticed that at 98 Gym that you have a lot of girls turn up on the day and deliver.
Testing is the best part. Is that last time we did testing, we just finished testing again in the gym where we do lower body, upper body. We tested all the energy systems. Last time, pound for pound, the girls were stronger.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I called the dudes down on it too because it's all equal these days, which is cool. But the women were stronger and worked harder than the guys. And then we fast forward to last week where we tested again, and the numbers slowly coming out, they're a lot closer together. There's girls and guys, and if I had to pick, there's a whole bunch of girls that would be ahead of a whole bunch of guys to pick on a team.
100%. Yeah. You definitely pick some of the girls over some of the guys, like I was saying, on your team of 17. Not sure.
I think as a coach, I tend to see less ego in females than I do in males. Like, you have to break through a whole lot more barriers with some guys because they have this preconceived idea of how strong they are, and they get that way because they have physical strength as a gift earlier on and they live off that, where females have a little bit, but they tend to have to really knuckle down, be technically proficient and do the whole work, the whole 1% is to get where they need to go, where guys will miss that, still get to a certain point and then have to realize that they've like not done the work, go back and start again. And we see that with a lot of our females.
I think the trends are within sort of the fitness industry, there's a lot of more women going into the gym now, and I think generally speaking we're starting a little bit later than what dudes would in the gym. Like, I was doing, you know, body pump classes for way too long, but that was my entry level.
You're not trying to get those in a 98 gym, eh?
No. bars and drinks.
So I was looking for a laugh there, Kev. It didn't work. Bad joke.
Too serious. Yeah.
Scoff instead.
Maybe uncomfortable.
Well, I think women are starting a little bit later on the weights but I think, you know, with each generation or each few years, they're starting a little bit younger, and what we're seeing is they're keeping up. It's for the fact that, you know, they might not have started at, you know, 15, or like you see guys going to the gym together. And they're all hanging out there doing, you know, going to the gym pretending like they can deadlift. But I mean, I probably first touched a barbell when I was maybe 20. 10 years later, I'm finally figuring out how to deadlift properly. That's between a lot of undoing of crap form and then having to redo it again, but chipping away at it. And I think it's great seeing the chicks come into the gym, and there's no bullshit there either. Like, it's no bitchiness. There's no, I don't know, stereotypical stuff there. When you go into 98 Riley Street, you see another chick pulling like a, you know, like Kate Hilliard just, you know, killed her own world record on the ski erg in Riley Street. There's no like, you know, it's full on respect Amundo, because that she did the work and she got
it
the
results. It is respect watching her on that.
Yeah, everyone can see the work, and they understand too by being around it all the time. I mean, if someone tried to talk bad against someone because they've done something well in the gym, I mean, and Chris has done it before, they'll be excused and their membership will be cancelled, because we value people way more over money.
So that's the military part you brought in, obviously.
I would do more, because he's
you'll be so leaving
much,
now, thank
he's
you.
So much nicer than I am.
I'm only joking.
Head of HR, actually.
Yeah, you'd be fantastic at it. So these sessions that you and the trainers do on Fridays, where you push the limits, you then roll that out with your members next day, don't you?
Yeah, usually.
So it's one in all in.
Yeah, we roll it out on a Saturday. Yeah. Because we do, I mean, the 98 program, which is what we run at the gym and what we sell online, is like exactly what I'm doing. So like, I follow it, the training, you know, I jumped in this morning and did the Monday class. And so we jump in on a Friday. It's not like, it's not that we're any better than them or there's any difference. It's like, literally, right, this is what we're going to do. They all see it on a Friday that we've done it, and then they can be nervous all night and coming in the morning and do it and then feel like $1 million at 10 o'clock.
Mind you, there's guys that jump in our Friday session, a couple of members that back it up the next morning as well.
Wow.
And Chris has done it numerous times, because there's been numbers out. And it's also about making sure that these guys see that we're capable of doing something that we program. I think that's the worst thing in the world, if someone throws something out there and doesn't know how it feels.
Yeah.
I think it's really important.
Yeah, that's a massive one for me. Like, I stand behind it 100%. The program that we run and the sessions that we do, it's like black and white. It's not rocket science. It's been going on for years and years now. Playing footy, we were doing the same movements. We were doing a lot of rowing and squatting and deadlifting and pull up. You know, it might have been in a different kind of set out slightly different, but it's not, there's no like, it's not like we're inventing an exercise like, oh, this is the new like special type of push-up that's really good that no one, you know, that's going to make you 10 times stronger than a normal push-up will. It's totally black and white, like, this is what we do, this makes you better, sweet, so we stand behind it. The FYF's exactly the same. It's not, there's no like, there's no tricks or no like random movements, so it's generally just grunt work that everyone can do as long as they've got a bit of heart about them.
And one of the problems you guys face is you've capped out, you've got a certain amount of space, so you've gone online. So that programming is available now at 98gym.com?
Yeah, you can get the program online. Go to 98gym.com and you can download the program or sign up to the program online. And the reason we've done that, I guess people need to understand as well, is that we weren't willing. We could put more people in the gym. We could put another 100 or so in the gym, but then we sacrifice the coaching as well. So we cap our numbers in every session. We don't want the members to suffer because of more cash.
Yep.
Like, there's nothing worse than going in the gym, having one instructor, one coach, you know, with 30 people, and you see 20 people squatting wrong, you know, that's rubbish. So the only way to get around that was to keep the numbers where they are and then move online. Also, because we've got so many people asking for it as well, it was just, it made sense, because, you know, people asking, can you take a picture of this? Can you send me what you did today? Can you do this? Can you do this? We developed the online platform so everyone can benefit as well.
And that must have been really hard for you, Chris, from a cultural point of view, to maintain that integrity of what you built with your brand, to go and put that in an online platform where there's a heap of
shit,
nicely put,
very eloquent
there, like, for you to actually go there, there must have been a lot of thought process into what you're going to achieve. And I'd love to hear or share with people what you're actually delivering.
There were a lot of thought went into it, and it's taken a long time. Like, every man and his dog has got, you know, online program coming soon everywhere I look.
What's it been like, over 12 months?
Because your program is one of the best kept secrets, your online program, and that's why I wanted to get you guys on to talk about it, because I think we need to share it with more people.
We spent a lot of time working. Firstly, we did the program in the gym for a year. So we've done it for a year. We've, you know, we obviously knew it worked beforehand, but we have results. We've tested everyone. And then it was like, all right, you know, why does the gym work so well? What are the few things? We questioned a lot of the members and looked like, did a lot of sort of reading up on it. And it turned out that it was like the program was a big sort of key part, obviously. The community that's in the gym and then the trainers that we have. So they were kind of the three things that came out. You know, it wasn't about you have the latest ski ergs and the, you know, the really cool like bumper plates and this and that. Like nobody actually gave a shit about that stuff. It was about those three things. So we're like, all right, well, how can we replicate that online so that people, I have mates in England that I played footy with that are like, oh, can you send it through every, you know, so we can do it every day, and like our mates in Perth and everything else. So we were like, right, how can we replicate it? So we basically replicate the program. The program that we run every morning or every day at Riley Street is online. So you get that day and you get the day before and the day after. So that's how we replicated the program. The sort of knowledge stuff and the trainers stuff came about. We have a movement library. So every movement that's on there, we were talking earlier about the GTS. Like if it's on the program, you're not sure what it is, it's always hyperlinked. So you just press a hyperlink, it goes to the movement library. It tells you exactly what it is. It has like the points of performance and that kind of thing. And then some other knowledge stuff on there, like the nutrition stuff's all on there by Harriet. We have some articles from like Kevin and myself and like a few other people, some interesting interviews and stuff on there. And then we also, the community side of it, we're like a little bit more like, shit, how do you, you know, like doing a program by yourself in your gym at home is all some people can do. Like it's the best way, it's the most efficient way for them to get through it. But sometimes it feels a bit like, you know, all right, I'll read this and is this good or is it bad? I don't know if I've done right here. So we put like a discussion board underneath each day.
Okay.
So like say this morning, I jumped on there, did the class. I jumped on there and just put, you know, hit this amount of calories in this effort and this many rows and this is the ball I use and this is the kettlebell I used. And it were a fairly tough session. Now somebody can jump on there and say like, oh, look, Chris did this. Now, just before we came in, I think there was like 10 or 12 comments on there of people that have done it this morning already from all different places, like guys and girls and different ages. So you can go on there and be like, oh, Pico's just done this. This is what he got. I'm probably a little bit, you know, fitter or similar to him. I'll try and hit these numbers. Yeah. So it gives you that like, and people are jumping on there, like sort of posting and what they're getting, seeing how people are going, looking to see, and it builds that kind of community. So that's what we're hoping to provide.
So you're getting mainly trainers coming on board at the moment?
Everyone. Absolutely everyone. I mean, look, we did it purely at the start. So like basically some of our mates can jump on board as well. And it's just, it's got a lot of people jumping on. So we've got girls, guys, mums, dads. It doesn't really matter because it's not based on, I guess people get a little bit scared or frightened from the outside looking in. They think that we might train a little bit harder than everyone else.
You're talking about me when you say that, aren't you?
Have you? I don't know if you've been in the gym.
No,
I've seen you in there once. No, I understand.
Definitely not in shorts anyway.
Well, Pico's allowed in there with it on. The way it's planned is based off your own level of experience. We don't hit a certain number. We don't ask you, you must hit this or you must hit this. The workout's there and we give you a guide on percentages and then you can go to the online and the community and have a look at, right, this guy did this or this girl did this. Like, you know, you can look back at the other comments and think, all right, I should measure myself somewhere along the line of I should be midway is about here. If you've got a question, ask, because Chris and I are on there every day.
Okay.
It's there, so it's a sounding board of like, hey, I haven't got a rower. I can only run today. What should I do? Hey, I'll do this. Or my dumbbell only goes up to this weight. What should I do instead? So we're there to answer those things every day because that community is as important to us as the one inside the gym. You know?
That's impressive. Not a lot of people online are actually talking to people.
Online, yeah. We're on there every day because we are. I'm generally interested to how, I know the results from the program inside the gym.
Yep.
Like I've seen a 52 kilo girl pull 115 kilos the other day and then get faster on the ski. Everything gets better. And not only do they get stronger physically, their mindset changes. They start to see that they're a little bit more capable of everything else in their life. So they look back at the hardest day in the gym and then they start to look at like, okay, actually that wasn't that hard. Like use that as a stepping stone to something else. And that's what we want. Like I don't want people to get fit and strong just to go out in a really tight t-shirt. You know, you can do that anywhere. What I want is people to use this physicality and this mindset to go and do stuff they haven't done before. I want them to go and climb a mountain. I want them to go and play faster football, stronger football, you know. And I use the same template. Like I've got Owen Franks, who's an All Black, just played his 100th cap for the All Blacks.
Steak restaurant.
Yes, he has got a nice steak restaurant. Who eats carnivore as well.
He's a carnivore man, isn't he?
Yeah, he eats some carbs before a game and stuff. He's also, I mean, you can't fault he's been around for so long, and steak tastes good. Let's be honest. It's not your fault.
It's not my fault.
It's the cow's fault.
Steak tastes good.
But the same template that we use in the gym is very similar to the way I program for him as well. So we do some strength stuff, we do some speed stuff, we do some energy system development stuff. So it doesn't matter in terms of your elitism or your amateur level, whatever it is. If you apply yourself to everyday training, eat better than you did the day before, try to get better sleep, it's just going to take care of itself. And you do it for longer than 2 weeks. You know, this is the...
So why would someone like Owen come and train with you?
Well, I met Owen when I was still in the military, and we initially didn't hit it off. We actually argued because we're both hard-headed. He just liked the way, I guess, I told the truth without any filter.
For those who don't know, and those overseas, he's just had his 100 cap for the All Blacks.
He did, yeah. So, yeah. Yes, he's a...
It's a pretty special...
Yeah, he's done, I don't know, well, he's on his way to his third World Cup for the All Blacks as well. And he's just come back from some injuries, so we're working on his explosiveness, his speed. But, I mean, he's a guy too that if you go back and read anything about him, nothing I do really touches the type of guy he is, because he's done all the work himself. Like, I could give him, you know, 2 minutes of skipping and 5 push-ups, and he would do that to the intensity that he could muster in himself. Like, he would do everything the right way. He eats well, he sleeps well, he's a professional in everything he does. So there's no way, shape or form am I claiming anything, any accolades of his. Like, they're all on him. But in terms of the difference of programming, it's basically the same thing. No, you're not going to go out and play 100 games for the All Blacks, unfortunately. The template is there, that you can't skip around biological laws of training, you know, that they are what they are. If someone tries to tell you different, they're lying to your face. Can you do it in 28 minutes? No, you can't. You know, can you do it in 6 minutes? No, you can't. You've got to spend the time to get the results. That's the program. There's no myths, there's no lies. You'll see the work and you'll see the results if you do the work. And we're there online every day ourselves.
So when you say we see the results, are you monitoring your online community like you do
gym? Tested as well, the online guys tested, so everything that happens in the gym daily happens online daily as well, so they all tested as well. I'll correlate all that data.
And what are we testing for, do you mind, are we allowed to know?
Yeah, it's cool. So we do a 1 RM deadlift, mm-hmm. and then we do body weight pull-ups, max body weight pull-ups. And there's a reason for the deadlift I like to do, because it's an all-over body pull, you know. So if your grip strength isn't strong, then you're not going to pick the bar up. And it's also a bit of a safer way to do than a back squat, which people like to use. But if you get crushed by a back squat as opposed to a deadlift, you can't pick it up. It's not going to go anywhere. It shouldn't anyway. Body weight pull-ups, because there's real good correlation between that and the way you use your body in terms of sprinting, fat-free mass as well. We do a 30-second assault bike test on the same day. So
same day?
Yeah. So you,
nice.
Yeah. It's not really. It's actually horrible. Not straight after each other, the appropriate amount of rest, and we measure calories. I would like to measure watts, but can't always do that. You've got to have someone standing there. So the 30 seconds is as close to as we can. What we're looking at there is your ability to push your actual strength into speed and power, and that anaerobic system. And then we'll do 50 box jumps for time. And we do that for a couple of reasons, because it's a bridging gap between the last test and the next test that we do. But also it's a skill that people have to muster. And we did that for a couple of reasons. For some reason, women don't like to jump up and down on things in terms of box jumps.
I haven't heard this myth, but no.
We seem to have a... It's
careful where you're walking, Kev.
Yeah, I'm not scared of... Yeah.
It's the shins, it's the shins.
Yeah, this is a big heavy table. I've seen it over a number of years that they don't like to jump onto boxes on and off. So it's a skill they have to muster.
Is it a padded box? Because that's fine.
I don't care. But we did that to develop a skill, and also it's a bit of a bridge between the next test, which is a 2K ski row or an 8-minute assault bike test.
Or?
Not all three.
My all-time favourite.
And those things...
You guys pretty much launched the assault bike in Australia, didn't you? I know you didn't officially launch it, but your gym and your outbound communications were very heavily involved with...
Spend a lot of time on the assault bikes.
Yeah. Well, because they just... There's nowhere to hide. That little screen will directly, it would give you feedback on how hard you work. Can't lie to you. You can't, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not like jumping on the scales and twisting it one way or the other. Can't add a few pounds on it.
You can't cheat the movement. It's same with a roller and the ski erg. Like he says, if you go hard, you'll get the number. And if you don't, you won't. So there's no way around that.
Yeah.
Which is why it's such a great tool.
People avoid things with screens that they give them feedback, because you can tell.
Yeah, yeah.
You can tell whether you're working or not.
But the testing is there also. We don't expect everyone to blow the doors off their testing. What we expect is that you get a benchmark, and the next time we test, if you've worked really hard between last testing, this testing, you'll get better results. And I've just seen that. Like, I'll release the data and I'll release the testing results in a week or so. The results are just impressive. It's so impressive with guys and girls, guys that come in that could, you know, deadlift 85 and are pulling like 150s and 160s now. Girls that could barely hang onto a bar and not do one pull-up and are now punching out 7, 8. I love those testing days. And I understand too, there's some issues with people testing. They get a little bit scared as well, because it gives them they get direct feedback on where they sit. I like testing. I tested as well. Most of the guys in the gym tested. All it is that you know exactly where you are on that day.
Oh, you got to have accountability in life.
Yeah, and it's not against anyone else. No. We're not going to put them on a leaderboard in the gym and be like, this guy's, you know, it's just exactly like Kev said. And I think with Kev as well, a lot of the, you know, obviously he writes the program. He talks to a lot of people about the why, like why we're doing it. I think, like you were saying, the girls, we have a lot of girls in there now. Mm. And one of the first sort of weeks of the program is programming in bench press. Now, none of them, you can imagine, none of them, or 90% of them, 95% don't want to do bench press. I don't want to do bench press because I don't want to get bigger chest. I don't want to get better. But I'd say, like, out of that 95% of them, 85% of them all wanted to be better at pull-ups. Kev's like, look, if you want to be better at pull-ups, we need to do some bench. We need to push as well. And so he explains it all to them so that they totally understand why they're doing it. You know, like, they'd walk in there and if you said, right, you're doing bench, and they were like, well, why are we doing it? So I'll just do it. They wouldn't come back and the gym wouldn't be as successful as it is. Yeah. But because he can explain to every one of them, individuals, guys and girls, as to why you're doing this. And yes, maybe this isn't what you normally choose when you walk in a gym, but that's why you can't do a pull-up. So if you start doing this and you start doing the supplementary stuff that we program and you start, you know, following it, this is where you'll be in 12 weeks time. And it's proved itself again.
So if I was running a corporate health program and I wanted to set up a program for my team, my employees, what type of equipment would I have to be able to run your programming?
Well, you'd need, you know, get a rower and a salt bike or a ski. You don't have to have them all. You can even run sometimes, but you one of those equipment.
He's the executive. Let's buy the equipment.
And then you'd have some kettlebells, you know, depending on your employees. You know, you can get a 12 up to a 32.
Mm-hmm.
You get yourself a couple of dead balls, 25s, 35s, depending how strong you are. Now, the stronger you get, the heavier you can go. Get yourself a barbell with some weight, again, depending on how strong you get. Unfortunately, with the program, you're just going to get stronger and fitter and faster, so you're going to have to go and buy more weight.
But people don't mind backing up the second time. It's that fit, like that initial spend. I mean, so you're not talking much more than a couple of gym memberships, really.
Not really. And to be honest, we've got guys, like one of our guys who used to be in the gym is now, where's Charlie at the moment? Like an outback, I don't know where. Like there is a lot of dust and not much else.
Where Harriet lives out that way.
She's left camera.
Oh.
Charlie basically has his own little setup. He went to Aussie Strength and set himself up there with the basics, with a barbell, some kettlebells, some dead balls. He's got a sandbag that he filled with a whole bunch of dirt, and he gets around everything he needs to. And then if he has any questions, he jumps onto the community page and says, hey, I want to hit this. Because you can see a day in front and a day behind. If he looks ahead and says, hey, I'm not sure about this, what do I do? Then we can jump on and say, mate, do this instead. The 32 was really easy. What should I do? Hey, just add another, you know, 5 reps into this one. So I think this set out is really simple.
I think there's more and more people doing that as well. Like the whole, like, you know, people are busy. Mm-hmm. And people say to me all the time, oh, I'm thinking about joining the gym, but I live in 25 minutes away. And I'm like, it's probably a little bit too far, you know. Yeah. Like if you're working, you have a kid or a baby or whatever, and you don't want to be spending an extra hour in the car just to go to the gym, the chances are that you'll look at that hour's drive and be like, actually, I won't bother going. If you've got a bit of space in your garage and you can put like a squat stand and a kettlebell, a dead ball and an air bike, you can get very, very fit just following that. I see more and more people just putting little setups in the garage. I mean, if I didn't have the gym, that's 100% what I would do, because I wouldn't be going to a gym.
I think it works as well. Like if you go to a gym and the majority of people walk in there and they don't know what to do, then this cures that problem for you 100%. So you've got 6 days of programming there that you can, if you want, you can cherry pick, or you can just do the program as is, and you can walk into a Virgin, to a Snap Fitness, to a Fitness First, whatever you want to do, with that on your phone and do the program. program, and it's all there. All that equipment's already there as well. That's the beauty of it. So if all you had was a warehouse or a garage, you can get away with doing it. Best case scenario, you can do the same thing we do, but in another gym. We get a lot of trainers too that use it to train their clients. There's a couple of gyms on there that have replicated our programs as well, which is cool. It works, and that's the best thing. We both agreed, and it goes back to the movement library on there where people, you know, were giving us, you know, telling us like maybe you should shorten this and shorten that, or not say this and say this, where we just kept saying, okay, well, I would not stand behind that. Well, the explanation is this long because it needs to be this long. The reason the video is this long because it needs to be this long. The reason I've got these bits in the warm-up because it has to be there. So I prime the body ready for the session. I don't care if it would sell better. I don't care if it would make someone's, you know, would look better on a screen. Don't care about that. Well, if you do it, the results will come. And that's all we're worried about.
So how long is a train session with you? Start to finish?
An hour to
4% of your day or something?
Yeah. Well, that's it. And that's another thing we usually get to is like, I don't have enough time in my day. Well, I get up at 4. Chris is probably the same. Harry at 10, 11 o'clock during the day.
If you're lucky.
You'd be the same as well. We all get up and we do what we need to do. Getting up at 4 in the morning means I have to go to bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock so I can get almost my 8 hours in. Like, is it hard for us to eat and train and do everything else we have to do during the day? Yes. We all have families. I think people think we lead this awesome lifestyle where we're just having coffee all day, which is not true. Like Chris this morning snuck into the gym before he started. Like, I trained yesterday knowing full well that I was traveling today.
You plan for it. And excuses
always there if you look for them.
Do you know what though? I'd say like our members that we have now, we're capped at 200 members. That's exactly what they do as well.
Yeah.
It's people like, oh, look, I'm going to be away Monday, Tuesday. I'm traveling. I'm going to Singapore. Because there's a lot of them working finance or whatever.
Yeah.
Right, how can I work my way around it? And you'll be like, look, come in on Sunday, hit this on a Sunday, try and do something in the hotel on the second day that you're there, and then we'll get back on Wednesday. You know, like, exactly that.
They'll make solutions
like, oh, I'm going away, so I'm not going to come to the gym for 3 days. Straight away, you've lost any kind of, like, consistency or momentum, you know.
If you spend an hour at night watching TV, you have an hour to train. You know, what you want to fill your day with and your brain with, that's what matters. There's too many examples out there for you to use anything other than time as an excuse. Like, there are people that do have legitimate, I have a guy that comes in, he's on his phone as he walks in, he's actually trained while he's been in a board meeting on Bluetooth, and for that reason I put him on the sled so he could breathe heavy. If anyone has an excuse, this guy has an excuse, and he hits every session every time, like every week. That's it. This is exactly why we do it. We train the same way when we're away, and it works really well. For not just, but we had a guy the other day, and he ran the City to Surf, and all he's done was he's done the program. There is zero running in our program, and he ran the City to Surf, and surprise, surprise, because his ligaments were stronger, tendons were stronger, he moved better because of the movement prep stuff we do at the start and the movements I put in the program, he ran really well. You know, you don't have to run to be fit. Yeah, that's another thing that I want to make sure people understand. That doesn't make you fit. I'm looking at longevity. I'm making sure that when I'm 50, 60 years old, that I can still do everything I'm doing right now.
You only need to look at like the changing sort of training athletes, like looking at rugby league as an example. When I were playing this 20 years ago, we were sort of running 5Ks, 10Ks on the, you know, like the only way we could get match fit was by running on the field. And now you look at it, they're on the field as little as possible to get the skill work done, the game prep stuff done. Everything else is done, like keep off your legs, like don't get injured. We do, you know, like you don't need to run to be fit.
Yeah. I'm a huge believer in it because like it's the same sort of template we ran when I was in the army, and that had real world consequences.
Yep.
And there was no messing around there. We didn't fill the program with bits of shit because it looked really cool. We did it because I wanted everyone to go from cover to cover as fast as they can, because the less time they were exposed to bullets. I wanted everyone to be robust as hell when they went through tough situations. I want people to be better at playing sport. I want people to, you know, to feel more confident when they do stuff. And the simple fact is, when you do that stuff, coupled with, like, you know, following what Harriet does with nutrition, you just look better, you feel better, you think better, and therefore you can pass it on to everyone else you're around as well.
And that team environment probably makes you a better human too.
That's it, yeah. Like, you don't want to let someone else down. Like, there's nothing more that worries me than on a Friday, I think about, not like, shit, whose team am I on? And I'm thinking about, like, I hope I'm capable of keeping up with all these guys. That's what I'm worried about.
So just a little snapshot on 98gym.com. Like I said before, if I'm an executive looking to bring a program into work, we could definitely look at 98gym.com.
Yeah, there's everything on there, plus, like, you know, there's more than you need. So if you were looking at doing any of that sort of stuff, you could sign up and you could fit yourself out with like minimal equipment and run a really successful program. You
know? So if I'm a husband and wife looking to set up something at home, I can definitely programming work?
Exactly the same, yeah. We've got plenty of husbands and wives. Like we're talking about people that we've also like had a lot of members that have been that have come that have moved away. Like they were saying about Charlie and a couple of other people that live sort of in the middle of nowhere. And it's like, yep, all right, we'll just buy this, this and this, put it in the garage or the barn or wherever they are. And they're following it exactly the same as we do.
What about that 18 to 24 year old young male that's copying a lot of bro science? Is he?
You know what? I wish someone had grabbed me when I was that young, made me do this, because I wouldn't be getting up after an hour long flight with bad knees.
I
wish someone had grabbed me by the back of the head and just said, just do this for 12 months. And then tell me you're not a believer. I wish if you're 18 to 24 and you have that unrelenting amount of testosterone, use it. Because now, if you set yourself up now, all the progress you make now, you'll keep. And as a byproduct, you know, well, I'm sorry about the skinny jeans. They're probably not going to work, but everything else is going to look good. Mm-hmm. You know, you will. But I wish someone had taught me how to squat properly, deadlift properly, told me about the fact that I don't need to go and do biceps until, you know, my arm's stung. Because if I do a lot of pull-ups and a lot of deadlifts, my arms are going to get big anyway. You know, make my back stronger, make my abs stronger. Make my legs stronger, so when I go and play sport, I'll be fine. And then I know how to move, and that just translates into everyday life.
I think, you know? From a, like a female perspective as well,
which I find it hard to talk from.
Which, you know, you do a great job. Basically, I think what you know, those the confidence that comes from knowing that you can get through a workout, and it's not just, you know, guys versus girls. You're all sitting at the table together. Like it's all as hard as, you know, we're all doing the hard work. And the thought process that you have when you're halfway through an FYF, when you're like, I don't think I can finish this, but you're in a room full of people who are all doing the same work, and you're probably having those thoughts every now and then during the workout. When you get to the end of that, that sort of learning process, when you're pushing through that barrier of I think I'm about to stop, but you don't, that really applies itself to a lot of different other areas of your life, because you know you're going to get to that point in the middle of a hard project where you go, I don't think I can do this, but you know that, okay, that's just a fleeting moment. If I push through, it's all good. So there's a confidence that comes actually as a female, that I'm in a room full of blokes or chicks, doesn't matter. I can hold my own, and I'm sitting at the table with them as well. I don't think there's a big disparity between the abilities of the males and the females in the room. So like if I was an 18-year-old female and someone had given me this, it would have like cut out a lot of bullshit thoughts that I was having, you know, in my mid-20s when, you know, you weren't sure whether you were, oh, I don't want to look a certain way. But it's like you get to the point where you're strong and you're fit. I don't give a shit how I look. I'm performing well. It goes from aesthetics and how I look in my bikini body, I'm performing well.
It's like with, you know, the whole sort of ethos, the final sentence of the ethos of the gym is like, we build resilience, and that's exactly what it does. You go through these tough times in the gym, you suffer through some workouts, you do some things that you don't think you'll do, and you do get through them, so that when you do other stuff, it's like, meh, you know, I've done a lot harder than this before. Or you see it on the board when you get there and you're like, oh, testing, you know, people looking at 2K row, and they're like, well, we did 5 2K rows last week, so, you know, I'm going to be sweet, and actually I'll probably smash it. You know, it builds that. It just builds that, like,
it's also
resilience.
Like, it's real, too, to fail and to make mistakes and also not go as hard as you should have in a workout, and we've all done it, and then, you know, not just walk away and be okay with it. Like, you catch yourself, you're like, actually, I didn't do what I should do then. I should have gone a little bit harder. I actually had more in the tank. And then you come back the next day, or a lot of us done it where we've snuck in and done it again by ourselves to teach ourselves a lesson. You know full well that voice inside your head, it's always there telling you to maybe you should slow down, maybe you should stop doing this. It never goes away. What it does is it becomes quieter, and you're also willing to check it really quickly as well. That wanting to stop, like, that's always there.
You only have to push through it once or twice to know that it's just a voice. Yeah. It's not actually real, you know, and I think that's pushing through it the first time is the hardest bit. And then once you've done it a couple of times, you just get faster. That's all.
I mean, going back to the program online, I forget too, like, we've got these interviews on there with people that we only sort of share with the online community. So there's a client of mine, Alyssa, who she just finished Everest, but she's done the North Face and the South Face. She's 21. Wow. Yeah, so she's
21.
Yeah, she summited. So she didn't go to the bottom and take pictures with everyone else. She actually went to the top of it twice. There's an interview with her on there, and you forget you're speaking to a 21-year-old. You think you're speaking to a 30-year-old who's done everything. And really, she makes me think every day, like, what have I done with my day? What have I done with my life? I've got a friend of mine who writes for us now as well, from Texas, Rusty. He's the head strength coach for a college football team, ex-Green Beret. Got articles from Chris. We've got articles from Harriet. Stuff that you only get online as well. that I go back and I watch these things. I mean, I think I would sign up for $9 a week just to watch some of the videos from Chris.
So it's $9 a week, change your life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's it. That's two cups of coffee. Well,
Sydney coffees.
Sydney coffee.
I think it's like Harriet then. She was like, oh, you know, it's really cool. And you watch like Hilliard break a world record and you're like, hang on a minute, sorry. World record, yes. Oh, yeah, she's got three world records on the ski erg.
Broke her own.
Yeah. She's going to be the first woman ever to get under 7 minutes. And she's just hanging around the gym, you know, just following the program.
And to be able to actually see that firsthand, you're like, oh, I have no excuses. Like, there's that barrier has been broken and she'll break it again.
And there's a good interview with her on there as well.
But you, and this is it, you're just surrounded by like real greatness in terms of these people just work really hard. They're in all the time and you see them for what they are. They're just normal people that have the ability to commit to something for a long period of time. And that's it. It's the same with any type of sport person who is or athlete that's gone to the top of their game. You look back along their life and what they've done is just be consistent the entire time. And yeah, there's a little bit of sacrifice in there. Can you go out on the piss every night and work really hard the next day? No. So what do you cut away? The excess alcohol. And what happens then is that you end up finding a better way to spend your day. I really enjoy beer like everyone else. There's a point in your life where you've got to think about where you're spending a lot of your time as well.
Glory tastes better than beer, Kevin.
Glory tastes better than beer.
Nice.
I don't think that's going to make a t-shirt, Harriet, just quietly.
You got to say bacon and deadlifts or something.
Look, if you're out there and you want to make a change, you want to join a community, you want to be part of something special, 98gym.com, get on board. We're going to get you guys to hang around and talk about athletic eating next, if that's fine.
Very happy to.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Today's podcast was brought to you by our partners in Fit, Happy and Healthy, ASN, Nutrition Warehouse, DY Discount Vitamins, Fat Burners Only, Evelyn Fay, Mr. Supplement, or find a retailer online at bodyscience.com.au/retailers.